Yes, it is. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. We just praise you, Father, for an awesome time tonight because you're in charge. We're following your lead, Lord, and we thank you for tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we get to come together once again in one accord, and we praise you for the answers to our prayers. We thank you for all of the testimonies, and most of all, we thank you for the anointing of the man child in Jesus' mighty name. We praise you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time with you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for all the things that are brought forth to your glory, Lord. And we praise you and we thank you for all that you're going to do tonight in the name of Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Does anybody got a prayer request? How about a testimony? Hey, Daniel. Yeah, Donna. You have to unmute. I know it's hard to hear you when you're muted.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yes, ma'am. It works so much better.
Okay. Okay, so I have this friend that has a friend that they're foster parents. Okay. And they're against the vaccine. And the foster system is trying to vaccinate the kids, and the foster parents won't let them. And so they said that the foster parents have no rights. And so they've been, okay, so we've all been praying and so forth. And so they have tried to come and get the kids to vaccinate them 4 times, and every time the kids get sick and they can't take them.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you
Hallelujah.
for stopping this nonsense with all of your people in Jesus' name. Thank you for
Yeah.
doing that, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name.
Yeah. Joseph is 12 and Andrew is 7.
Okay,
So.
Lord, protect both of them, Joseph and Andrew.
Andrew, yes.
Yeah, thank you, Father, for doing that. In
Amen.
the name of Jesus. Your children, Lord. Amen. Go ahead, Missy. Unless you got something else, Donna, I'm sorry.
No, that's, I just wanted to
Okay.
share that. All right.
All right. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, my testimony is today I was mowing the lawn and I was blessed with getting stung 5 times. That's God's grace. And I have no pain. Thank you,
Well,
Lord.
praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
You, Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. All right. That's not any fun when if you don't have the Lord, I guarantee you. Go ahead, Samuel.
Now this one's a bit unusual.
And it's just like a little small one. But we're at the bakery and I got a gingerbread man. Do you know what they are? Like, okay. And we came back home and like I went to go eat it and its head had been cut off and fallen off in the packet. And I'm like, oh Lord, why'd you get its head to be cut off? And I heard death to self. And I looked at the packet and it said Christian, like the name, Christian's gingerbread. Like gingerbread man or something like that. And I just thought that was so cool that God had it say that. Yeah, God's so awesome. He's so sovereign.
Awesome. God is so cool. I'm telling you what, he can use a gingerbread man to talk to. Awesome, awesome, awesome. All right, anyone else?
Hey, Michael, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
My testimony is thank you for your prayers because my exemption request for vaccine was accepted by my employer. So praise the Lord.
Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Praise be to God. Thank you, Father. Awesome, awesome, awesome. God is so good to us. My, my, my. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Julie.
Can we pray about this coming Halloween and protection and deliverance and all that is entailing regarding children and child abductions, et cetera, because this is the time of year where they're looking for vulnerable children to be taken.
Amen. We sure can.
Okay. All right. Well, can I start?
Father, yes, you can. You can start. Anybody
okay.
wants
to. All right. Well, Lord, I just praise you. You are the great I am. You are our Father in heaven, and you love your children. We thank you, Lord, for the sovereignty of your power, of your name, of your will. We thank you, Lord, for the authority you've given to us to go after the enemy with a vengeance. And Lord, we loose the angels, Lord, to protect and prevent every child abduction, human trafficking, any abuse, torments, and every plan that they have to steal children between now and even into next year, Lord, that their plans are thwarted, totally failed. In the name of Jesus, Lord, that your children will not be victimized for their evil intents and purposes, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that. I thank you, Lord, for catching these criminals and bringing this to an end to fulfill your power, to fulfill your purpose and your glory, Lord. And just pray a blessing and protection on the children, Lord, and that you would cause whatever needs to happen, Lord, for, you know, praying against all trick-or-treating and Halloween parties and all this other stuff where they would be vulnerable, or just being out on the street or being in the wrong place and just somebody turning away for a moment, distracted, and somebody taking their children. We just bind all that, and we command failure to all of their child trafficking in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Lord, I just ask and I pray that everywhere these people are operating, that there would be a tremendous thunderstorm, rain, to rain them out in the name of Jesus, Lord, that they would have no way possible to get any kids because of the weather. And I praise you for doing that, Father. I know that they're pretty pervasive all over, but Lord, they are. I know that there are also certain places that are really susceptible to this. And I praise you, Father, for raining on their parade in Jesus' name and protecting your children. In the mighty name of the Lord. Amen and amen. Glory to God, I believe it. Lord, I believe every one of them is going to get out of this and not going to be able to get out and do their nasty work in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Isaac.
Hey, all right. Hello, everybody. I got a testimony, and it starts off like this. It was one day this week. I don't remember exactly which day, but I was talking to one of my coworkers, and, he was telling me about a tragedy that happened to him with his child and grandchild in a car accident. It was just terrible. I was listening to the fella, and, just really letting him talk, you know, and it's pretty special that we're so soon. I've only been there. It's like my third week that, you know, he'd released so much. And this guy's not a talker either. He's not one of them that just, would tell you anything. So I was listening, and afterwards, I just prayed, and I thanked the Lord, for always protecting my family, because it's really surreal. It's terrible. you know, and I lost my dad in a car accident when I was 19. So I don't understand it on the level he understood it, you know, but I do understand what loss can feel like. And I say all that to say this, and not in a comparative statement. And I don't mean this, in any way, but just thank God that, you know, he, delivers us from the curse. And, you know, these people, I talk to work, they probably don't know that the curse is a thing. They probably don't even know. And so basically what happened was that day I got home from work, Marianne, me and her are talking, and it was the same day I was talking to that fella, and I just prayed and always thanked the Lord for protecting my family, you know, and keeping an angel around them. And when I got home, I didn't tell her any of that. I didn't tell her the story. She had said, "Oh, well, I meant to tell you something, Isaac." I said, "Yeah, what's that?" And she said, "Well, I was at a stoplight today," and she goes, "I needed to get ahead of the other car because my turn was coming up. So I needed to, when the light turned green, really just goose it and get in front of them, right?" Now for you people in Canada and Australia, goose means pedal to the metal, right? That's what it's meaning. So, she needed to get the other lane. Anyways, well, Lord forgive me. The Lord told her that, you're not in a hurry. Just like that, you're not in a hurry. And she said, "Yeah, I'm not in a hurry." So she waited. Well, right when the light turned green, a semi blew through it, boom, on the other side, right? Got to put in sound effects because that makes it extra intense. Anyways, but a diesel went through the red light. And she was in my mother-in-law's Ford Fiesta. And those are very, very compact cars. And anyways, she told me that. And I just, you know, really wanted to thank God that he does protect us and that he protects our family. Cause my kids and, my wife and my mother-in-law were all in that vehicle together. So, you know, it's just, you know, sorry, I'm kind of long-winded here. This is a testimony. Sorry, it doesn't sound so like super exciting, but man, this is life we're talking and it is exciting and protection. And I just thanked God and I just, you know, hope to be a light for these people as I work with. And I'll tell you this, there was nights, you know, years and years this would happen to me. At nighttime, I would feel like this spirit of fear try to attack me because I would think of all these, what else could I do to keep my family safe? What can I do? What can I do? Okay, if we park on a street, well, then we open the door so they get out on the sidewalk. You think of all you can. And guess what? It's never enough because it's only God that can protect you, right? And his hand's over you. And that's where that, and you know, I thank God that I can't do it, man. I can try to come up with anything and you'll never be able to do it. And I just thank God that I can just pray to him. You know, he's got my family. Just rest. There ain't nothing I can do about it because I can't, you know, I can only, what control do I really have? But it's Christ in me, right? And it's our God and he protects us. And I'm just really thankful for that. And I just wanted to share, you know, really thankful that I can rest in him when I pray it. And that's it. That's all I gotta do is just believe it and, know he's already got it and don't even have to worry about it no more.
Amen. Thank you, Father. He is such an awesome God to protect us and our family, those around us that we pray for. Yeah, that's awesome. Glory to God. Yeah, Henrietta.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. I wanted to give a bit of a testimony. And I was wondering, can I also share a dream or is it just testimonies? Yeah. Oh, okay, cool. Thanks. So the last, like 3 or 4 days, I had an issue in my mom's building. So where the tenants are and, it rained and the water came in, through the wires and because it's three phases of electricity and two phases caught fire. The meters went out and everything, and some of the tenants were really upset because they have businesses. And we were trying to deal with it. What we didn't know, so the electricity guys did eventually come like 2 days later. And what we didn't know was that there's tenants that had connected, they'd bypassed the meters and connected the wires directly so that they didn't have to pay for the electricity. So that's like a really big deal. And it was turning into this huge situation where they were going to get the law involved, and I'm here, and, you know, and we were just praying, and I had peace about it. And Andre was just really like taking charge and praying. So I thank God for that, because he really stepped out of the boat. And it finally got sorted yesterday. Like, we didn't even get in trouble or anything. It's such a long story, I can't get into it, but I really saw God's hand. And I was speaking to my uncle, and my uncle was saying, you know, because he was begging them, he was saying, please, you can't just cut off, because they'd cut off all the electricity and people were upset and people were threatening to move. And he was saying to them, you know, this is where, you know, my sister gets her income from, and she's not well. But anyhow, we were talking with my uncle yesterday when things seemed to have settled, and I was crying. And he said, you know, don't cry. God has this. And I was saying, no, I'm crying because God has this. Because look at all the people he's brought in. I had people, my gosh, they took it on like it was their own mother's project or something. And they just, you know, there was phone calls all over. There's a whole network going on. I was pretty much sitting down praying. And that was, you know, and just giving direction and saying, yeah, I agree with that. Or, oh, no, that sounds like a good idea. And it's because of God's hand, and he cannot share that glory with anyone. And I was saying to my uncle, I'm crying because of God's love and how powerful he is and how mighty he is and how he just, my gosh, it's not even like showing off. It's like, you know, God is just, he's so amazing and he's so powerful. And his power is so simple that sometimes I think we don't quite understand how his loving kindness is just, he's so simple. Just the simple things, and they fall in place, and there's peace. And the way everything got sorted out, you know, it was like if we had brought in the police or done this and that, and, you know, it would have just been chaos, and it would have ended in chaos. But when God took over, there was peace, friendships were made, you know, connections were made, and it was just so amazing. And I've forgiven the tenants, but, you know, they have to go. But yeah, it's still so amazing. And I thank God, and I want to glorify him, and I want to just make sure that I know, everyone knows that it was all his hand, because there's no way, there's no possible human way that all that stuff could have fallen in place. And so I didn't even know how to share it, because it's just so big and there's just so much detail in it. But I have seen God's hand, and I continue to see God's hand in the most simple things and in some really complicated things which get broken down in such a simple way. It blows my mind. So praise God for that. I really thank God for that. A few days ago, I had a dream, and I think it's the first dream I've ever written down, but I wanted to share it first with Andre before I shared it with everyone. But I thought it was really interesting. And I think it almost prepared me for what I was going through after. So I dreamt we were in a dark cave. There was many of us. But I don't think... anyway, we were a bit spaced out. So there was us who were on the sides, and we were almost like waiting. We were just watching and waiting. And then there was people in the middle, and they were concentrating on some, they were getting something ready. And all of us were wearing robes. And I think they were hooded robes. And I had a voice in my head. And then one of the people that was in the middle stood up, and he was an older man. And he had quite an authority about him. So he wasn't just like older, like mature, but there was something older about him as well. And he was carrying something. And as he was walking out of the cave door or opening, a voice said in my head, "You will accompany him." And it's almost like the voice said at the same time to him, because he turned and looked at me and waited, and I walked up to him, and he had what looked like should have been I would have thought as a scroll, but it wasn't. It was folded in fours, and it was attached to a leather, like a leather, something to bind it with a leather, like a leather flap. And it looked transparent, like something was inscripted on it. And I asked him, I said, "Oh, can I touch that?" And he sort of, he put on his hand so I could touch it. And I put my hand on it, and there was like, the words started to glow, and they were like a light blue with silver, and they were glowing up, like they were coming to, like, I don't know how to explain it, but they started to glow. And then he sort of, he took it away from me, and he folded it in the leather, and then he put it in a leather bag, and then he hid it under his robe. And then he said, "Come." And we left. And as we were coming out, he stopped, and it was dark. It was dark outside the cave. And there was people around, but they were like shadows. They were just sort of, you couldn't quite recognize them. And I understood that the robes that we were wearing, they didn't just keep us warm. They also camouflaged us. And then he said, and then I didn't know what he was looking for. And then he turned to me and he said, "Oh, I found him. He's on my right." And behind him was like a really deep darkness. And I understood he meant the enemy, our enemy. And I said, "What do we do?" And he said, "Just act natural and keep walking and keep talking." And so we started to walk out of the cave, and we ended up at a very high place. It looked like a mountain. Like it was on top of everything else when we came out, and it was quite gray, but I could see the expanse. I could see really, really far. And I was like, wow. And he'd already started to walk away, but I stood and looked, and a really loud, okay, it wasn't loud. It was more like a voice that it declared, but it was in my head, but I understood more than I could hear it. It was like across the land, you could hear it, or some of us could hear it. And the voice said, "And all across the land was heard the voice of the prophets." And then my son woke me up. He'd had a bad dream. And it was a really interesting dream, because it didn't feel like a dream. It felt like I was actually really there. And there was quite a few people, but not as many as there were around. And after that, I was asking, what does it mean, Lord? Is it like, you know, is there a meaning? Is there a parable? I haven't heard anything. But since then, I've had an understanding. I almost had a peace about everything around me after that. I've become quite mellow, which is not something I used to be. But I understand that, somehow I understand that everything that's happening in life, that's not the important stuff. All this other stuff is happening, you know, feeding, dressing, running around, doing the clearing. That's not the important stuff. It's just life. It's going to pass. But there's a significant part of the spiritual that is, I don't know how to explain, but that's the important part. That's the significant part. And everything else, don't get distracted. Don't get caught up in that, because that's just life. It's going to pass. And it's coming and it's going, and there's a peace about it, because, you know, it's just part of the, but there's a spiritual element that is just really important, and it's already being put in place, and there's stuff already being worked out. And I don't quite understand what that means though, but yeah, I thought I should share it, because every time I've thought of sharing it, something's happening. I haven't been, but if anyone does have revelation, I'd really appreciate it. Thank you.
Amen. I'd be one to send in if you can. Anybody got anything they want to share about that dream? By the way, Marilyn, you were spot on that. Revelation of the boots. It just clicked. Of course, David has already got it into the broadcast. He's going to be with it. That's between me and Marilyn. And Barry, of course. Well, if you listen to the broadcast today, you understood that I had a dream. Yeah. And the booth, she really was spot on. I'm not going to spoil it for David. I'm going to wait to let him reveal it. Yeah. Okay. Anyone else? Boy, we're in some wonderful times. Wonderful times. My gracious, I'll tell you, I don't know about y'all, but spiritually speaking, I am really excited. Really excited. How many of you know the kingdom of God is already here? Woo! Oh. Can anybody tell me what the kingdom of God is? Yeah, Missy. Oh, you just waving at me or what?
The kingdom of God is within us and we are the kingdom of God.
Yeah, but what is the kingdom of God?
Righteousness, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Let me tell you what I got written down here. Can I do that? The kingdom of God is that spiritual state which the life of God and of heaven is made accessible to men, and they enter into it, into its enjoyment right here on earth. That is so awesome. Yeah, go ahead. I don't know who was first. Pat, since you're the first one over there, I'm going to get you.
Yeah, the thing that hits me first is it's a place, and it's kind of it is the place that Anretta's dream was talking about, where you're in the midst of the dark, yet you are in another place. You are protected within that place, and you sense it. You are aware of it by faith. But that's not what I was wanting to talk about. But anyway, I wanted to share something that happened to me a couple weeks ago, and when Isaac was talking about that that experience that Mariana had. I've had a few of those in my life as well. And my wife has experienced the same thing. I'm not sure that I heard anything at the time, but I sensed something. And, but anyway, something that happened to me the other day, obviously I'm in a hotel because I'm back up in New Jersey, for the next couple weeks. And,
show heart.
Yeah. The belly of the beast. So on my, part of my, commute of coming up here, I'm driving on the turnpike, and of course I don't know if anybody is familiar, some states don't have turnpikes and that sort of thing, but you up here you'll go through the entrance onto the turnpike or freeway basically, and there are, and you come up to the entrance, it's the entrance and the exit, and there's a whole line of what looks like booths going across the, you know, across the turnpike entrance or the entrance ramps. It's like they're gates basically. And you drive those gates and your car is scanned, so that you can just drive straight through. It's almost like if you've seen horse races where they have starting gates there and the horses come up into the chutes. Well, these are just wider for cars. Well, I was driving up to the, and it was, 6 in the morning or something at that time. And it's still dark up here. And so there wasn't a lot of traffic, coming up, but I was driving up to the gate and slowing down, because you have to slow down to like five or 10 miles an hour, and, you know, maneuvering to get in, to go through the gate and slowing down. And I was probably 25, 30 feet from that gate as I was coming into it. And out of the side of my eye, I just quickly, because I was focused on making it through the chute, and I focused on something coming out. And I just kind of turned my head like that. And I saw the front of a semi-tractor trailer right in the side of my window. I mean, coming at the side of my, I mean, I looked and I thought, whoa, you know, at the time, and I didn't think, you know, I was a goner or anything, but this thing was like right there at the window. And I, you know, turned my head and went, and as I started going through the gate, this semi truck was passing right back behind me. And I, you know, at the time I thought, man, that guy just barely missed me. But this is a big semi truck. It was a Amazon Prime truck. And I don't know if you've seen them, but they have that kind of the logo on the side of their truck with, an arrow on the front of it. And it looks like a curved, like a smile type of, insignia. And that's on the back of their, those are on the back of their truck. And as I was going through this gate and I looked in my rearview mirror, I saw that Amazon sign go right past the back of my car, my truck, my pickup or whatever. And I get to thinking about that a little bit later. In order for me to have been going into that gate, and seeing this come at the side, and then as I'm going into the gate, a split second later, the middle of the semi truck was going through my rearview mirror. I don't think that's possible for that to happen. Now that it's almost like that thing stopped and I got close, you know, I got up 10 feet closer and that thing went behind me. And then as I caught it, I don't think it was possible. I mean, I got to thinking about that a little bit later. And I don't know if the Lord moved me or stopped time or did something there, but, or whatever, something happened. But, and I got to think about that. You know, the Lord must have moved something around there, me or that truck, or stopped or pushed or did something, because I don't think that is possible to happen. But anyway, praise the Lord. It's just one of those things that was, you know, you don't know if did that really happen or didn't it really happen? I mean, I was there, you know, but that doesn't seem possible. But anyway, I just thought I'd share that, because it's, Isaac brought it up to, when he brought that up, it made me think about that. And I thought, you know, even when we are unaware of these things. God's on board. He is there protecting us all the time. I could use stories of situations when I was hang gliding and the Lord, I knew something happened there because the Lord, definitely sent the wind in a certain way and stopped me from making a stupid decision. But I don't know. I just have to praise him. He was, that was awesome. And it stunned me so much that I really didn't have time to think about it until later. But after I did, I thought, man, that's amazing. But anyway, praise the Lord.
Amen. That happened to Sandy and another lady here. Sandy pulled out in front of somebody, and the other girl that was with her went to screaming, but nothing happened. The car went straight through their car. And, you know, after they got to thinking about it, they said, nah, we didn't do that, you know. And the Lord gave Sandy a vision up over the wreck at that time and showed her, yeah, this is exactly what happened. And she saw herself and the other girl pull out this little car they were in, and that other car went right straight through them. They said they never slowed down, never slowed down. And the Lord just protected them as if they weren't even there. And it sounds like the same thing happened to you.
You know, the crazy thing about it was that semi, I'm not sure what in the heck he was doing, but he had to have been completely on the other side of the road and decided to change his mind instead of going into the entrance ramp to pop a U-turn right there in front of and go across all of the gates and then get into the return traffic lane and go back the other way. It was amazing after I thought about it, because it just, that guy must have been, he was just flying by there. And so, well, anyway, it was just amazing.
It was a miracle of God. Thank you, Father, for your protection upon your people. Lord of God. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Donna.
Can you hear me?
I can now once you are here.
I was just I was just gonna say, you were saying about the kingdom. I was just gonna say, isn't it Jesus in us and walking in his power and authority?
Well, sure. Absolutely. That's part of it too. It's when when we get access to the kingdom and we walk in the kingdom with the power and the humbleness and all of that God gives us. That's what it is. It's making us accessible to the supernatural.
Amen.
And what's the signs of it? The signs of it is the wonderful change that he makes in us. The wonderful change that he makes in every one of us. It's real nice to have Rama and Stephen here. How y'all doing? Daniel told me about you. Y'all have to unmute if you want to talk a little bit. You have to hit that button down on the microphone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. You got it.
Wrong one.
Is it wrong?
Yeah, I think so. G'day.
Hey, how are y'all doing?
Good.
We're good, thanks. How are you?
Awesome. Ask you, bro. Hi, I'm Stephen. I've been a believer for many years, but the world is quickening. God's shortening time. And about nearly 2 years ago, I had a head-on collision on my electric bike with a car. I hit the windscreen head first. Everybody thought I was dead. I destroyed my bike. I got a souped-up electric bike. It'll do 77 kilometres an hour. And everybody thought I was dead. In fact, the woman that ran into me lives over the back fence. Her daughter, she come home and told her mother that I've killed Stephen. She didn't see me get in a truck and take all the stuff home. Anyway, all I got from it really, and that's not the first time everybody thought I was dead, but all I got from it was a dislocated collarbone. I had a good helmet on and stuff like that. But since then, I used to get visions and dreams and night visions and understandings of different things at different times. God had shown me things that and how things work and what's going to happen and things like that. But since then, things have really got quickened. It's like it's magnified spiritual insight in a lot of areas. And about 2 months after that, this is about 18 months ago, I had a dream, a very vivid dream. The Lord took me to a place, I believe it's in somewhere in Southeast Asia. I don't know exactly where. And it was like a war room. But all these people had no uniforms on. They had Hawaiian, we call them Hawaiian shirts, or tourist shirts with shorts on, all different colours. But there was a hierarchy there. And what they were saying, they said, they told this plane, I don't know whether it was a pilot in the plane or not, to go up between Taiwan and China. Now, I have no preconceptions about this. I never thought about World War III, what's going to happen, anything like this. I never even considered it. But they kept on telling this plane to go closer to China. And it did it about 3 or 4 times. It went up and down and nothing happened. They kept on saying, go closer, go closer. Then it went up. And it got blown out of the sky. And they all celebrated in the war room, high-fiving each other, celebrating. And over the loudspeaker said, congratulations, you've just started World War III. And then a big red neon sign come on above it and said 2023. It bothered me for a fair while, I can assure you. I at the time, I didn't know at the time that shooting a plane, another country's plane out of the sky is a declaration of war. I didn't know that. A lot of things I didn't know. The world wasn't as far gone as it is now when I first got that. And it also he also showed me. After that, he showed me all the. I live in out a suburb of Hobart in Tasmania. And he showed me, took me to the middle of Hobart, and there was people running around, breaking things, attacking people. It was like a big cloak of darkness over the sky. And these people were like zombies. You couldn't talk to them. And they were doing crazy things, breaking into buildings, bashing people, attacking people. I tried to talk to them and they wouldn't take any notice of me at all. It was like a zombie apocalypse, the only way I could describe it, except these people weren't eating people or blood or all this stuff like that. It was just craziness, absolute craziness. Then the Lord took me to a little, we call them a pub, a hotel, and I walked in, nobody could see me, and there was all these dead people that I knew were dead from the old days that I've known in my, through my life, and they were all in there playing 8-ball and singing songs and drinking beers. Now, I still don't know what that means. There's a lot of things that the Lord showed me that night that I still don't understand. But I believe 2023, first off, I thought, couldn't happen that quick. Couldn't happen. Couldn't possibly happen that. Then the numbers lined up, adding up to 7. The reverse of 3-2-2. The Jesuits' 500th anniversary. We know what the Jesuits are like. A lot of these things come to pass. Hobart's under attack from a great darkness. It's called Mona. It's a witches' coven convention. They have a thing called the Ninth Circle underneath it. Dante's Inferno. A witch from America come down and helped them start it. Her name was, Marina Abramovich.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'd never surprised.
It's interesting because the guy that owns Mona, and Mona's a Celtic, goddess of children. But they say it doesn't mean that. But the guy that started Mona, a guy named David Walsh, I knew from the old days. He was a total idiot. He thought I was a total idiot. And I thought he was a total idiot. And at that stage, we were both correct.
Okay.
I wasn't raised in the Lord or anything like that. I've had miraculous things happen to me. I've died and seen hell and got raised up by God from it. I've seen probably 1,000 miracles, probably more. Wild things have always happened through my life. But I believe God has really shortened time. As Jesus said, unless the Lord shortened time, no flesh would survive. And I think what we've seen in the last few years is verification that unless God shortened time, no flesh would survive. And now you've got the 7 heads of the dragon coming together to try to start World War III. And I honestly believe what I saw was true, that they're actually trying to start it next year. And especially the stupid things that people like Biden and all them are doing.
Wait a minute now.
That's all right. I mean, they don't make any sense. To destroy it, they look to me, it looks like he's trying to destroy America. And they're all working together for it. So I've told people about this to warn them. I think we're coming into the time that our relationship with God means absolutely everything, and our commitment to God. And I think that's the only way. God told me a few years back, and I've been a believer now for 37 years. And he said to me, this was about 10 years ago. And I'd been going through some really dark times with my body and stuff like that. And God's raised me up and healed me and protected me. And he said, without 3 things, you will not get through these days. And I said, well, what are they, Lord? He said, you've got to learn the truth, love the truth, and live the truth. Without them, you will not get through. And it's like it's a tattoo on my heart. And since he's told me that, my whole world has changed. And for the better. My daughter, this is my daughter here, Rayma, she's pretty full on about the Lord too. And things are coming. You know, we've got people that God's called to us, basically calling the people out of the world. The church system in Hobart, we can't be a friend of the world and a friend of God's. You've got to make your choices. And unfortunately, the church system that I've been to around here, I was a pastor in a church for 4 years, many years ago. So I know what I'm talking about. And they're just friends of the world. Whatever the world tells them, they do. You can't serve God and the world. You got to make your choices. And this, if you can't make the choices in these days to serve the Lord, you never will. Anyway, that's me. Short little part of my testimony. My collarbone still dislocated. I was never in any pain with it. It was quite strange, but anyway, God bless you all.
Well, let me ask you, hang on just a minute, Stephen. Don't run off yet. I got a couple of questions I'd like to ask you. You said okay, on the dream that you had or the vision you had about 2023, do you know what year it was? I mean, what part of the year it was? Was it in the summertime?
No,
was it
I never got any month or any date. All I got is 2023.
Neon sign.
And basically, these people were celebrating starting World War III. To me, it felt like maybe the CIA.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure, but some sort of group like that, I would believe, they've done it on purpose, and they're doing this on purpose.
Yeah, that's what's happening right now.
Let's face it. America's the weakest it's probably been for a long. And if you're going to attack America, and what is it? Less than a month ago, China and Russia had their first military games together. Army maneuvers and all that together for 40 years, and not one news station said anything about it. I only saw it on Tucker Carlson. I checked it up and it's true. Not only that, their navies had been doing military navy maneuvers together, and that hasn't happened for 40 years. Yet not one news service even comments on it. And now, Biden's taken money off just about every country to control, so they can control him. And now America, with their vaccine mandates and kicking the people out of the forces and all this stuff that won't get it, they're probably the weakest they've been for a very long time. And it looks like, to me, this is all set up. Now, I could be wrong, but...
Well, I don't think you are.
There's too many coincidences.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... This war you're talking about, of course, is Revelation 6, you know.
Yep, exactly.
Could be coming up. And,
yep.
I don't know how long you've been with UBM or if you with UBM at all, but David had a teaching yesterday just exactly about what you're talking about, similar to it.
Yeah, we're going
to
watch it after this, Ryan and
Claire. Yeah, I'll definitely watch it. People that don't believe this is the last days, I can't believe people can look at this and not be awakened in the spirit. I can't believe that people could be still asleep and see what's going on and hear what's going on. And the news services keep people shut down so they don't know anything. Well, this is the way to talk to people and find out what's really going on around, because you need spiritual people with spiritual insight that know God to know the truth and walk in the truth, walk in love, and love of the God, love of the truth and love of God. Without that, you'll be deceived. And unfortunately, we live in a time when many people are deceived.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't get any other than 2023, and it was a red neon light sign, like a red neon, which was quite unusual. I've never seen anything like it before or since. And I hadn't been praying about these things or nothing like that. When I go to bed, I give everything over to the Lord. I declare Him Lord of my life in all and every area. I give Him my nights in all and every area. I've got a dedication prayer that I say every day. I'll start now, right? This is what I say every day. Father, I thank you for who you are, the Father of all lights, the Father of all spirits, the Father of all creation, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the true God of Israel, my God, my Father. Thank you, Abba, in the blessed name of Yeshua, in the blood of the Lamb. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. I believe it. I thank you for it, Father, for being our God. You are an awesome, awesome Father God. And we bless you, Lord, as you bless us.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you, Stephen and Rama. We hope you don't let this be the only time you come visit, because we're here every Tuesday and Thursday night. Daniel probably keep you informed. We have a wonderful group here. They're just full of love and full of the Lord.
Now, I've heard good things about you. That's why I come on.
Well, I'm very good. So glad you did. I'm glad you did, and I'm sure everybody else is glad you did too. As far as the war is concerned, yes, and this thing is ramping up quickly. And if you're listening to that broadcast, it'll pretty well confirm what you just told us.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. All right. As far as the time going by fast, it seemed like yesterday was January 1st of 2020. It just goes by that quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It says unvaccinated lives matter.
Oh, amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. That's awesome. Yeah, Daniel, go ahead.
Yeah, Daniel. Yeah, how you going, Michael? I just seen, God bless everyone, sorry, and blessings to you all. I love you all, and sorry I haven't been on for a few weeks. It's been pretty flat out down here, but I'm still always in prayer with you all and standing in the fight. But, I seen Angelica write just earlier in the chat box there about the UBM meeting, as we spoke earlier. The podcast that was last night or whenever it was, I can't remember.
Yeah.
Over here, I don't know the time difference. But yeah, Rianne sent me a text message and said about it. And I'd listened to it last night, and then I understood why Rianne had sent it through on that, because Raymer and I went over and talked to Rihanna and Claire probably 5 or 6 days beforehand. I can't remember exactly how many days, but I was sitting there, we're having a good fellowship and a yarn and that, and I thought, what else has God, what's the testimonies have I got, or what can I think of? And then it came to mind, that's right, God give me some scripture. And it was a pretty stood out pretty well, like the scripture when I was talking to Raymer on the phone, or he gave us some scripture, I was talking to Raymer on the phone. I said, hang on, I'll just open my Bible and see if God will give us a word, And so I opened it up and I sort of flicked through and then opened another page and then just stopped where, just started reading. It was on the 4th and 20th day of the 9th month, the word of the Lord came unto Haggai. It was chapter 2 of Haggai. Verses from 10 downwards pretty much. And then I was listening to the podcast of David last night, as Rihanna, and he was explaining all that, and I was like, wow, that really blew me out. And then I told Stephen about it, and that's it. He was pretty excited about that too, especially because it went along with his dream and the stuff that God had been showing him as well. So, no, that was just an awesome little testimony I couldn't wait to share, and just a good witness for that, for last night, for David's speaking last night as well, it was brilliant. And when you have them little personal things, even though you're on the other side of the world, it felt so big for me. I was like, what, Lord, you give me? down here in little old Tassie, us. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Amen. But no, that was it, Michael. Thank you very much for everything.
Well, thank y'all. Thank you, Daniel and Stephen and Rama. We're just so glad to have you here. And I wish Rihanna and Claire were here, but they had something they had to do today. Something about the kids, yes. I think.
They still haven't met Stephen yet. So.
Oh, haven't they? Stephen, you're going to have to just come over here and see us now. Yeah? That's just the way it is. Yeah. Come to Tennessee. What is that?
Tasmania.
Tasmania. Angelica says, I was walking at Walmart and saw a personalized license plate with the number 300. I thought of Gideon's Army, and David mentioned that on the Bible study. Yep, he sure did. Amen. Glory to God. Okay. Thank y'all. All right. Anybody else got something they want to share? Yeah, Nick.
Well, I got a prayer request.
Okay.
My bike is broken again.
Your what is?
My bike.
Oh, man. What's the matter with it?
I don't know.
Did you blow a piston in your engine?
I don't think so.
Okay.
All something right. With the carburetor again.
Yeah, the carburetor.
And this is the third time I had to take it out of there.
Oh, my. Well, at least you know how to do that.
Well, I don't want to take it apart without my dad, so I got to wait for him
now. All right. Well, let's just pray for it, okay?
Yeah.
We can do that because Lord's got these mechanically minded angels that go out there and fix things for us. Like he fixed our tractor, fixed my truck, Brandon's truck, and many cars around here. So yeah, we're not going to put him in the box. Lord, we just thank you for Nick's, is it a motorbike?
It's a four-wheeler.
Four-wheeler. Okay. Well, Lord, we thank you for the faith that Nick has, that we're going to pray the prayer of faith for that four-wheeler, and it's going to run, and it's going to be a good four-wheeler for him from this point on. In the name of Jesus, I command that four-wheeler to operate, run like it's supposed to, matter of fact, run better than it ever has before, and get good gas mileage. And we thank you for that right now. In the name of Jesus, four-wheeler, you be healed in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that you're sending your angels out there right now, your mechanical angels, to fix Nick's four-wheeler in Jesus' name. Everybody believe that? Oh, glory Amen. To God, glory to God, glory to God. We thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, I can't tell you, Nick, how many times that those angels have fixed cars and trucks and tractors and what have you all up and down through you.
Amen.
Been awesome. It's fixed, so I believe it. Ann Ryder, go ahead. Computers too, yeah.
Yeah. I forgot to share when I was sharing my testimony. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Okay. Right now, okay.
thank you. When the meters caught fire and half the building lost electricity, I prayed when we were praying with Andre. I said, Lord, I know you sent angels to heal Michael and David's tractor, and I know you healed someone else's car, and I know you've healed, and I just named all the testimonies I got on UBM. And I said, I know you've got electrical angels as well. So I'm asking you, Father, in Jesus' name, to just send them and clear that thing out. And do you know only three houses didn't have power at the end of that prayer? All the other houses, more than half the building, had power. So praise God.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We praise you, Father. You're a supernatural God that we got. And we thank you for it. We've had so many things that's happened over the last 12 years here. It's just been supernatural living right up on top of this mountain. Thank you, Father. And it's not anything but God. It's not us. It's God. We can't do anything but just pray. And we had two tornadoes come here one night. And I heard it. We were both in bed. David lived downstairs and I live up in the upper room. Anyway, I was up. Yeah. And I heard that thing come up and I started rebuking it. David was rebuking it downstairs and it lifted and went over us. And then another one hit it wasn't that much long after that, and it went over. So then we forbid it to happen again, and it hadn't happened again. That's been 3 or 4 years ago that that happened. The other thing that happened was lightning used to strike this mountain just continually, and it knocked out our radios. It knocked out our stove, our oven. It knocked out our microwave, and a host of other things that it has. And finally, we got tired of that. We just commanded the lightning to quit hitting this mountain, and it just stopped after that. God just stopped it, and there hadn't been a tree hit with the light. And this is this mountain has been known to be a mountain that attracted lightning quite a bit before, because there's a lot of iron ore in it, a lot of gold in this mountain. How many of you know that? Thank you, Jesus. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. But it stopped. We hadn't had anything since then. We hadn't lost a thing since then. Praise God. God is good. God is so good. All right. Anybody got anything else before we get into spiritual envy? Okay. We touched on spiritual pride. What day is this? This is Thursday. Tuesday night. And we've got into a little bit with spiritual envy as opposed to spiritual pride. Can anyone give me a definition of spiritual envy? Thank you, Patrick. Go ahead, Julie. I'm going to hit Julie.
I'm not sure about what was coming to me. If envy is something that you're envying something that somebody else has, then spiritual envy would be something similar in that you're envying somebody's spiritual giftings or anointing or position or something along those lines.
Yes. Yes. I'm going to call on Sammy. Sammy, you go put it up there. You got to come explain yourself. Where are you? Where are you, bud? There you are.
Sorry, we're out at Roma at the moment. But yeah, I just, it makes a lot of sense. There is a stark difference, but they're all related to pride as well. But it's where I felt like, so thinking that you're lesser than others and that this fruit someone else is getting or blessings isn't being imparted onto the person like wanting it, but whatever we ask for in the name of the Lord we receive. It's just doubt and unbelief getting away, I feel. But I'm learning this all as we're going. This is all like a big eye opener, especially from Tuesday.
Amen. Anybody else have spiritual envy? Spiritual envy is when I see somebody out there that has a gift that I don't have, and I want that gift myself. And I'm getting, I get irritated because I don't have that gift. That's a spiritual envy. That's spiritual pride, too. As Pat was talking about. Go ahead, Nick. You're going to talk about spiritual envy, aren't you?
Yes.
All right, brother.
If somebody has something that you want and you want it, you got to ask them where they got it from, and then you can go get it from there too.
Okay. All right.
Amen.
Amen, brother. Actually, it's being a little more aggressive than that. Yeah, it does, Angelica. It works with inferiority, rejection, and superiority, competition, pride. Anybody else want to jump in here on spiritual envy and spiritual pride. I think it's all under the umbrella of pride. Go ahead, Judy.
I was just thinking the expression of somebody being green with envy. In that green thing, what made me think of was greedy. You know, it's like you're just not content with you want, you're never satisfied, you're not content. And yeah, I think you want to be somebody.
Yes. Somebody. Bingo.
You want to be somebody.
Pride.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. You hit the nail right on the head. Go ahead, Benjamin.
Well, we keep envying people. We keep talking about envying people that have the gifts of God, but we all have these gifts, like healings and tongues. So if you're envying this person because they're having those manifestations, you're sort of doubting that you have them yourself. Even though we all do have them. So you don't have, you have them, but you're doubting that you have them. So you're showing that, you know what I'm trying to say? Like you're doubting that you have the gifts. So your faith isn't in that yet. You're not in that level of faith, I guess. Anyways, that's all I got on that.
That's right. Well, that's exactly right. Everyone here has the same gifts that anybody else does. It's a matter of accessing. And the way you access them is to get closer to the Lord. Renew your mind with the Word of God. Confess those things that the Word of God says to confess. When you confess those things, you break down those strongholds that you have built around your mind all your life. But when you start confessing the word of God, it breaks them down. It puts another wall up there, and that's the wall of God. Every one of us have the same authority and the same power as anybody else here. The youngest person in Christ can. David talks about a guy that got knocked out of Remember the guy that the demons knocked out of the place there that he was with? And he wanted to go in there and cast those demons out of him, but he wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. And the devil threw him out on the street, and some young kid came by that was just filled with the Holy Spirit, reached down and cast that demon off of him. Everybody has the same gifts. Yeah, he did. He ran through a glass door. Or the demons thrown him through. I believe. Yeah. He had to go through it. But anyway. Yeah. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I was. But everybody's comments are absolutely spot on, too. One thing that was hitting me is that when we were comparing between envy and pride, is that envy has that element of wanting something that you see in somebody else or see something that is being acted out or whatever, and you want that. I guess power, you might say. But at the base of that, or at the foundation of that, is the thought that, you don't accept that you have what God created you to have. And so there is a desiring to have something other than what you have been given. And, um, you know, what Michael was saying there, that we all have the same. We all have the same gifts. I think there's a little bit of a twist there. I think we all have the same gift of Christ in us, but that the particular gifts, each one of us has differing gifts to be an integral part of the body. And I was thinking of the over in Ephesians chapter 4. I was searching that. It kind of speaks about, I'm going to read this because it is, you know, the element of envy obviously is that we want something that someone else has and but are not satisfied or content or much more not developing that which God created in us. And there's a physical type of that happening in the world today, and that there's society, there's this whole flow going through society of now of people that have lost their gender identity, I guess you might say, and they're not satisfied or not believe that they are the wrong gender, or that's all basically an attack, you know, a demonic attack upon God's creation, because God doesn't make any mistakes. And if you are a man or a woman, there's a particular reason and a place and a plan for that in God's kingdom and God's plan. But anyway, and wanting or seeing or wanting to be or something different, there's a spiritual element in that. In verse 1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthily of the calling wherewith you were called. You know, the calling wherewith you were called, or the how you were created in that spiritual desire or spiritual vacuum that is pulling you towards God, that thing that He created you to be, and the desire in your heart to fulfill that or manifest that. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing one another, because you have to forbear one another with the understanding that everyone else has a different role. I won't say role, a different aspect of the Lord Jesus to manifest and to express and to fill their part within the body. Giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And obviously we have to keep that Spirit, that unity of the Spirit, because there's varying different soul desires and soul manifestations in the people around us or within the body. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you were also called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But unto each one of us, and he's making that point, unto each one, every one is an each. Everyone, God has a specific aspect of Christ to be revealed within your life. And there's the the idea that something is being expressed or revealed or displayed from another person, for you to want that, overwhelmingly want that manifestation within yourself, to have that which is that person's display, shall we say, is a subtle recognition that you don't, or you're not resting in your own manifestation, or, you know, what God has called you to be and to do and to reflect of Him. And, which is not to say that when you see this manifestation of another individual that, let's say, that you want, there's a subtle thing there that God is displaying that aspect of his personality, his life, for us to grow by and to desire, but not at the expense of what he's doing within us to be able to be a part of the body. I hope I'm not, you know, getting too far out here. But unto each one of us was given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now this he ascended, what is it but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? And then of course you get down into verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. What for? For the perfecting or the completing, the final package, the final revelation or expression, the perfection of the saints unto the work of the ministering of the body, of the building up of the body of Christ. For what purpose? Till we all attain unto the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may be no longer children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man and the craftiness after the wiles of error, but speaking truth in love, we may be grow up into all things unto him who is ahead of even Christ. And I got to stop because Paul doesn't stop. But anyway, so anyway, I just, how I started on that envy is, there's at the base of that envy is not, it is a subtle not recognizing that you are a valid and an integral part of the body of Christ. And you have your role and responsibility in order to express that life to the body and be a part of the body to build up others into that revelation of Christ. So anyway, that's all I had to say.
Okay. Go ahead, Angelica. Thank you, Pat.
Okay, just have a little something to share. I would say from my own personal experience and overcoming a lot of this stuff and what everyone is saying is definitely spot on. But I believe that, you know, I guess the more heinous part of this thing is jealousy and faction. You know, the Bible says where jealousy and faction are, there's confusion in every vile deed. And the thing is that people don't realize, you know, is that this, you know, these spirits, you know, jealousy, envy, competition,
you know, selfish ambition. These things bring disunity to the body, and you're basically an open door for the enemy to use you to be destructive to the body and cause disunity, because you're seeking for something that God has not, you know, possibly, you know, not that we can't be used in all, you know, in different gifts, but certainly, you know, there's positions for women and for men and different things like that. And so we all have to, through the word of God, learn what our position is in the Lord. And we have to get in that position in order to be effective, in order to have the authority, because of our sanctification and being in alignment with what God's plan is for our life, right? So if we're in rebellion, then the enemy can always use us. But, you know, it makes it impossible to love the brethren when you're dealing with these spirits, because, you know, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness. So these spirits are always causing you to wrestle against your brethren, always causing you to look at what you don't have, and always causing you to seek for your own glory, and to cause you to want to lift yourself up above others at, and it really just gets you in the flesh. It gets you, in the worldly sense, you know, the world does this all the time. They, you know, they climb the ladder, the corporate ladder, and they push people, you know, aside in order to glorify themselves, to gain a position, you know, whatever. But, you know, when we come in the kingdom of God, it's quite the opposite. It's, you know, it's the greatest among you will be your servant. And, you know, we have to learn to be content and learn to, you know, seek God for what he has specifically for us, so that we can be that unified body, so that we can be each individual part working together instead of against each other. And, you know, I've suffered a lot, you know, because of this selfish ambition. It does work with rejection, because you don't believe that God is, you know, wanting to gift you in these wonderful things. And you see, you know, other people operating in these things, and you're like, man, you know, you want that in a good way, but the enemy will turn that, you know, and use it to something sour if your heart is not right. If you don't understand that, you know, that the body is to be unified and to work together as one, not to all seek for one position or the other, you know, and the Bible, you know, speaks a lot about that. And so, that those spirits will just constantly drive you to, you know, the emotions involved in it will constantly drive you to be against someone, to never fully receive your brethren, and to always look at them from the perspective of, I want what they have. And you don't really see anything else beyond that. And, you know, and it, so it drives division and contention and strife and all kinds of wicked, evil, vile deeds, just like the Bible says. And so it's something that we have to overcome, you know, by the grace of God, and learn, you know, how to operate in the kingdom, you know, how to be unified, you know, and overcome these things and give up self, you know, give up the wanting, you know, glory or wanting a position or anything, because God is the one that makes those determinations, and God wants our submission. We're not gonna do well, you know, in the kingdom of God if we're gonna be rogue soldiers. You know, we need to be in line. We need to understand what God has called us to, and just focus on that, because, you know, we're not God. You know, we can't do what the entire body can do as one person. And that's how the enemy kind of gets us to focus on other people's giftings and blessings and things like that. You know, we just have one, a small part to play. And when we understand that and learn to be content in that and learn to not wrestle against flesh and blood, instead, you know, remember that the enemy uses these things to get us to focus on others instead of, you know, remembering that he's our real enemy, then, you know, we'll be way better off. So that's just what I want to share.
Amen. The verse that comes to me is Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you want something, seek the Lord. I tell you what, I've lived with David for 12 years now, but I understand that he's had twice as long to get to where he's at, and there's no way that I can do that except through the grace of God. And that's it. That's the grace of God is what drives us to do what God wants us to do. And we shouldn't be jealous or envious of anybody else's giftings. He has a gift, and everybody in here has a gift that God has given you, unique for where he wants you to work, you know. And that's, thank you, Angelica. That was good. Go ahead, Benita.
Yeah, I was just, you know, I was thinking about, am I envying all these, you know, wonderful gifts I see in everybody? Or I didn't. So I just started thinking about, like, you know, like the gifts that David has, the word of knowledge that he's gotten. I mean, it's just amazing. And, you know, it's like, yeah, I just want the Lord to open up my mind and just download everything, you know, that would be wonderful. But, you know, I don't think of myself as being envious of him, but I just think it's awesome that God did that and was able to, that he's able to use different people that way. And I mean, yeah, it's just like Angelic was saying, he'll use me how he wants to use me. With whatever gifts he wants to give me. But I guess I'm just clarifying in my mind, I don't think I'm envious of everybody else, although I think their gifts are awesome. So I don't know if there's any envy there. I repent of that before you all, but I just think your gifts are all just amazing. Amen.
Well, I can tell you this. David couldn't run this ministry by himself. Couldn't do it. He has to have everybody's help that's doing it now. And that's what the Lord himself does. He has to have everybody's help to make the whole body. It's not just a finger or a nose or a mouth, or it's a whole body. He's got to have the whole body to do, to get this gospel out, bring his revival, bring the people in. Go ahead, Andrew or Benjamin.
Okay, I went into my concordance and looked up the first place envy is mentioned in the Bible, and it's in the book of Joel, chapter 5, verse 2.
Resentment kills a fool, and envy slays the simple.
So that's pretty much how it could probably be used throughout the whole Bible. And you know, people sometimes when they're a lot younger too, they envy people who have things too, you know, like material things. And so that's a commonplace. But you know, in the New Testament, it's first mentioned in Matthew 27, verse 18, and this is where he was given over to Pontius Pilate. And he knew that for envy, they had delivered him up. So envy could be used very maliciously. But the one in Job just says that usually it's a younger person, someone who's maybe a little more inexperienced or just maybe coming to the Lord, that may complain about things. And you're not supposed to be murmuring. You're supposed to be doing Matthew 7:7 for a lot of rest. And that's where you're supposed to ask, and you shall receive, seek, and you shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. So Ben pointed out the 7:7, and I just thought a double seven had to mean something. So praise God and glory to God.
You're muted, Michael.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Go ahead, Henrietta.
Thanks. When we were doing the spiritual pride is when I was going through the parable of the prodigal son and the way the brother was responding, you know, he's like, I've been obedient, I've done this, you know, there's a bit of self-righteousness there. And he said, and then he got upset because of the gifts, you know, he was given a ring, he was given the shoes, he was given the robe, and he was given the fatted calf, you know, and he says, and he didn't so much as slaughter a goat, you know, for me. And so I was wondering, you know, was that his relationship with his father, was that the issue? Like he didn't trust him, or was that just, you know, the envy and the feeling, betrayed about his son, about his brother being treated better than him? And then that led me to the laborers, the late laborers that got paid the same wages. The parable with the laborers, and they're the ones who'd been there, they'd been working all through, and then the ones that came, I think, and worked an hour, and they got paid the same wages, and they were upset. I said, how do you make them equal when we've been out in the scorching sun, you know, and all that? And that reminded me of Cain and Abel. It just sort of went from there. And Cain was really jealous about God's favor. He was envious of God's favor over Abel. And God was really sweet. You know, he said to him, if thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. He warned him. And unto thee shall be his desire. And thou I skipped. But yeah, he warned him about what about the envy. And he was saying to him, it's not about him receiving favor. It's about you. You do all right. You just do all right by me and you'll be blessed. You know, you'll be fine. And, I think you see it's all pride, isn't it? With self-righteousness and that. But it also comes with, it's a falsehood, like Pat was talking about with the transgender. It's wanting to be like God, say, I am who I say I am, you know, and you need to bow to that, whether it's the truth or not. It's wanting to take on, I suppose, God and who he is, he's what he chooses to do, and forgetting that at the end of the day, our prayer is your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done, not mine and not, you know. And so praise God, he's the potter with the clay. But yeah, it was the parables that just seemed to make a lot more sense as they go. Yeah.
Amen. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, with that prodigal son, I seem to remember that the son who stayed home, the father went to him later and said, all that I have is yours. And you should be happy that your son was lost, dead, and now is alive again. So I think that has a lot to do with that. The other one, well, I can't remember what else she talked about.
Talking about the laborers in the vineyard.
Anyway. So I just wanted to bring that prodigal son.
Maybe
it's because they were both blessed. They were both blessed. They were both saved. One was re-rescued, revived. A revival happened to that prodigal son that came back. Praise God. Glory to God. And he had two parties in that.
Yeah. Praise God. He was, I expect he was so glad that he didn't have to eat corn husk anymore. He could eat lamb chops. Yeah, I expect so. Go ahead, Samuel.
Like how Pat was saying, it just felt so clear. Envy is wanting something outside for himself, and pride's trying to not let anything from within to share outwardly.
All right. Thank you, Patrick Samuel. Who is it we're trying to impress anyway? That should keep all of that stuff out of you. We're trying to impress the Lord instead of somebody. And if you're trying to impress the Lord, you don't have to worry about jealousy and envy, pride, and all that garbage. Right? I want to impress the Lord. I can't impress man unless the Lord's in it. I don't want to impress man. I want to impress the Lord. Be like Jesus. That's exactly right. And that's what I was trying to say earlier. God wants us to be a son and a daughter of his, to fellowship with. And we have the opportunity through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to be just like Jesus. Everybody has the same opportunity. I understand about the gifts and the calling. The gifts I was talking about was the spiritual gifts. And the spiritual gifts are vital to any and everybody. The healing, the deliverances, all of those things, the 12 gifts are available to everybody. All the gifts of the Spirit. Did I say 12? Anyway, glory to God. And I just want to, myself, if I had to look at David all the time and try to compete with him, I'd be a complete wreck. You know, because he's such a to me, I look up to him. He's always been a spiritual brother to me, a spiritual father to me. And that's the way I look at it. I don't look at him as any competition. I have some gifts and he has some gifts. He has a whole lot more than I got, but, that's not the issue. The issue is, who am I trying to impress? Am I trying to impress God? Or somebody else, you know, I just want to impress God. When you have that mindset, all this other stuff will leave you. We're at a time now, like Stephen was talking about, this is the end time. If y'all been listening to David on there, you know it is. It can't be anywhere else but that. And it's time for us, you know, as individuals, to seek God for our own self and stand on our own rock, so to speak, and be obedient to the Word of God. This is not a time to be playing around, you know. I can't say it any other way. I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but we're at a time now where it's, if you're not running after the Lord, you need to be right now, running after the Lord with all your heart to be in this bride, because you can help the most people by being in the bride than you can anywhere else. And the bride is not the whole church. The bride is a special group of people that are mature and have been through the wilderness and have overcome. And I know everybody here is doing that. Everybody here is overcoming, and we pray for one another. We love one another. And we know that God is working in each and every one of us to get us ready for this great time ahead. To be a disciple. It's disciple. It's not a Christian. The word Christian has been really kind of plagiarized. Anybody can call themselves a Christian. Go out and ask somebody if they're a Christian. They'll tell you, yeah, I'm a Christian. Sitting there smoking a cigarette or drinking a beer or doing whatever it is that they do. But a disciple is a learner and a follower of Jesus. If you've been listening to David at any length of time, you know that. And that's what we're to do. We're to be a learner and a follower of Jesus, walking in his footsteps. Like David always said, look in the mirror and see Jesus. Amen. Bring that rain on, Lord. Jesus' name. Bring it on here and in Nebraska where the fires have started. In the name of Jesus. We praise you, Father, for doing. Y'all believe that? Lord, God, Judy's fixing to get some rain. She's going to get some cooling down. And a little rain to knock the dust back. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for all the good rain you're putting up in Nebraska up there too to knock those fires out. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else? I'll tell you what, I'm getting excited. I don't know about y'all. I'll be so excited. David was talking about the war today, wasn't he? In that broadcast he had, or yesterday, I should say. All right, anybody got anything they want to share? Yeah, Bonita.
I just had a quick praise report. I had talked to you about my Frank's grandmother. She's 98, and we had to put her into a nursing home because she was just having trouble taking care of herself. So she's been there for a couple months now, and she is just doing amazing. Just gotten her health back. She's walking around. She's playing with a noodle in a balloon and hitting it around. And she's just kind of, you know, she hasn't forgotten her past. She's just forgotten her recent past. So she doesn't remember that she was in a house. So, I mean, it's just the perfect forgetfulness that has kept her at peace where she's at. And then the bigger thing is her son, my father-in-law, she had kind of gotten really upset with him back in 2018. And they just haven't spoken at all since 2018. So all these years, she had this mind, she was angry with him and he didn't want to be around that and everything. Well, today he went up there with me and he was a little nervous to go in there. He was afraid she was going to yell at him or something, but he went and they were reunited and they just, we're so happy to see each other. And it was just such a blessing. I just didn't want that division between, you know, they just love each other. I know they do. And it was just so hard to see them divided like that, but they reunited today. Praise the Lord. Just such an answer to prayer. So now he'll be able to go up there on his own, you know, now that we've broken the ice and he can really spend some time with his mom.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Ooh, my. Thank you, Lord. That's awesome.
Amen.
All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Nick.
Pray for those people down in Florida, too.
Amen. And Lord, we do. We lift up those people down there in Florida that have had all this devastation brought on them by man. And we thank you, Father, for helping clean it up in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for finding all of the people that may have been lost in the wreckage and all of that stuff, Lord. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. That's a mess down there, ain't it, Nick?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Amen.
I saw an article today that said that that was all man-made. It kind of looked like it to me. Steered. Yeah, Patrick.
So I see Steve has got off, but what I thought it was interesting that he mentioned that about a coven or something right there underneath that, what's in Hobart. And so I don't know, maybe we can pray about that or against that right now. But I just thought it was kind of interesting that, Tasmania seems like, you know, I mean, it's not London or, you know, Germany or, you know, it's a very, very little bitty small, you know, country or portion of a country on the other side of the world under Australia. It's very, you know, hidden and out of the way. Why would that be a center of that type of, you know, of that type of activity? Why would that be?
Rion, if I'm not mistaken, we prayed for Hobart last year at this time. There was some witchcraft. I don't know. It's probably a hub for witchcraft or something. I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe Daniel can let us know. Daniel knows all. What is it about Hobart that attracts these witches and stuff, Daniel, you know?
To be honest, I don't really know. To be sure, I just know the sort of the things that God's sort of shown me and led me into what I've seen, like from down here. I never realised how easy it is for the child traffickers, these Satanists and all these witches and warlocks and that. I didn't realise the depths of Satan, I should say. Like the last 3 years, you know, I've only just been woken up and God's been teaching me a lot of things and quickening me, but yeah, I realised the extent of the witches that are down there. So it's corrupt. Everything is corrupt over here, like all our, you know, as yous are in America, like everything's corrupt. But these people they've been doing this Mona place, this David Walsh, who was a card counter to start with. He ripped off all the casinos and that around Australia here, and he's not allowed in any of the casinos or nothing like that anymore. And he's starting his own casino down Hobart too now, apparently, but. Yeah, he ended up with this Mona Museum, and yeah, he calls himself a druid. And as we know, yeah, Mona also is the name of the 13 druids, like the Mona Lisa and all that's named after a group of, or whatever the Mona in that. But, yeah, I guess it just must be the ease, like, cause everyone's so blind down here. Like literally, I lived for 28, 29 years without hearing one person speak about God, without hearing one person in my family to be a believer, be a Christian, be anyone, but no one believes. No one believes in God at all. There's few and far between. Where I come from up here, there's no churches, no nothing. Like like I said, my whole life was with no God. I didn't realize there was a God. There was hope. There was nothing. Like, and no one actually knew, none of my family, friends were born again, saved or anything like that. So it's easy for them just to be able to hide things in plain sight with people not realizing what's going on. Satan, Tasmania is an anagram for I am Satan as well. So I don't know whether that has anything to do, but God showed me that straight, like when I was very first born again. But yeah, nothing's a coincidence, I believe, but I'm guessing it's the ease of it. Like we have, there's, as in America, there's a lot of homeless and things like that. You know, they're so easy for these people to prey on the innocent, and especially if there's homeless people out there that don't realize this stuff goes on, you know, there's a, underneath the Hobart Rivulet, there's a river system that goes underneath there, and underneath there, there's like these, images, like golden images on the wall, and heaps of all little babies' heads and a big plaque, like all on the sewer wall and that, and all babies' heads molded into it and all this stuff. There's a lot of evil, wicked stuff down there. And I'm guessing it just must be the ease of it all, like, and so secluded and quiet, and no one knows. But yeah, it's crazy.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and pray against it. Jerry, you want to start out? Oh, you want me to? Okay. Well, we come against all witchcraft in Hobart and actually in Tasmania. We bind up the spirits of witchcraft. We bind up the spirits that have served that country for these last few years in Jesus' name, and we cast you out. We bind you up from getting any more children or any other people involved in this human trafficking and human sacrifices in the name of Jesus. You will not, from this point on, do that anymore down in Hobart. We ask and we pray, Father, for your angels down there to protect all the innocents in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask and we pray that you place it into an evangelist's heart to start evangelizing down there in the name that's above every name. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Did anybody else want to pray?
Oh, praise you, God. I praise you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you're sovereign over all of this. It's not any surprise what you know is the darkness is happening around the globe. We just thank you, Lord, that the holy angels are helping the alliance and those who are destroying these underground places of darkness, Father. And we lose the angels to do that in the name of Jesus, to drain the swamp, bring an end to all this, their tunnels, their underground systems of corruption and wickedness and Satanism. In the name of Jesus, we declare that they're destroyed and brought to an end down there, Father, and not just Tasmania, but around the globe, that what you began, you will complete until the day of Jesus Christ, until the end, Lord, that all of this, that all wickedness will be found until there is no more to be found, and it will be destroyed. It is defeated. Yeah. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing down this evil wickedness of darkness and Satanism and all that it entails. And we praise you, Father, for setting the captives free. Lord, set these victims free from all of this evil worship of Satan and his kingdom. We bless you and thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We thank you, Father, for cleaning it up down there. Lord, we ask that you send a bunch of evangelists down there to evangelize the people. It's a harvest field waiting to be harvested. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Samuel, go ahead.
I can add to that, Lord, give them a conviction to repentance before it's too late. We all want everyone in the kingdom, so let them have a chance. Give them so they can repent and come to the truth and the way of life in Jesus the Christ. And we give you all the glory, Father, in the name of Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. We praise you, Father, for doing that. Amen and amen. And Lord, we thank you this is going to be a bad time for Satan's dominion this month, in Jesus' name, because God's saints are going to be praying against these human traffickers and Satanists all around the globe. And we praise you, Father, for the complete deliverance of the ones that you called, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. When we break the power of Satan off of October the 31st, that's not yours, that's God's. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen. Well, all right. Anybody else? We've got about a... Too late. Thank you, Father, for an awesome time tonight. We thank you for allowing, giving Stephen the wherewithal to come on and share what you've given him. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for placing it in Daniel to get him on here, him and Rama both. And we thank you, Lord, it ain't going to be the last time we see him either. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, all right. Y'all be blessed. You hear?